This is special programming on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Tonight, we'll hear from the health officer of Yuba-Sutter counties about the three positive confirmed cases of COVID-19 happening there. We'll hear how the sole shelter for those experiencing homelessness in Shasta County is faring, and we'll take a little trip with a familiar voice I know I miss. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Tell us how you're doing during this crisis on our website. You can also leave us a message at 530-433-9216. For Tuesday, March 24th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. Tests confirm 369 new cases of COVID-19 in the past 24 hours throughout the state, sending the number of Californians infected by the virus beyond 2,000. Over the past day, the number of fatalities has also increased, according to statistics released this afternoon by the California Department of Health Services. Authorities reported 13 Californians succumbed to the illness since yesterday, raising the death toll to 40. Last week at this time, officials were tracking 472 confirmed cases and had logged 11 deaths. A bit more than a fifth of all identified cases in California are among people 65 or older. Regionally, although the numbers are not as dramatic as elsewhere, cases have nearly doubled. According to the most recent figures available, authorities have confirmed 13 cases of COVID-19 in the North State, 4 in Butte County, and 3 each in Shasta, Siskiyou, and the combined Yuba-Sutter area. Yesterday, there were 7. No cases have been confirmed in Colusa, Glen, Lassen, Plumas, Tehama, or Trinity counties. Emergency tents meant to potentially store additional medical supplies or possibly quarantine patients will be assembled in Oroville Thursday, weather permitting, outside of the Old County Hospital. The California State Park System has moved to close parking lots in the Bay Area and Los Angeles in an effort to reduce the number of visitors. Visitation at many parks have soared since the stay-at-home order was issued. Photos and reports of trails and beaches crowded with visitors prompted the move. California National Guard airmen are providing logistical support at a medical warehouse in Sacramento and helping at 5 food banks around the state, including the Interfaith Food Bank in Amador County. Local authorities have set up temporary staffed hotlines to answer basic questions about the illness and available resources. Call centers are up in Yuba-Sutter, Plumas, Lassen, and Butte counties. You can find the phone numbers on our website, mynspr.org. Tenants in Butte County facing uncertainty were granted some financial breathing room. Sheriff Corey Honey announced yesterday the Superior Court had temporarily suspended evictions through the end of May. The order, the sheriff said, does not absolve tenants from paying rent. Honey, in a statement, said the bureaucratic work to enforce unlawful detainers will proceed, but that physical evictions won't occur until June. Evictions for elder abuse, domestic violence, and any associated immediate move-out orders from the courts will proceed. Tonight's city council meeting in Yuba City will be held online. Those wishing to comment during the meeting will have to register for a webinar conference call. Instructions and a link are included in the agenda available online. People receiving subsidized phone or electricity service will not have to apply to maintain their status for at least 3 months. That's following action Friday by the State Public Utilities Commission. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. COVID-19 is in the North State. Please stay home. That's the message we've been hearing from local public health departments for the last week, and there's no doubt, when you look at the numbers, it is here. There are currently 4 cases in Butte County, and there are 3 each in Shasta, Siskiyou, and the combined Yuba-Sutter area. To stay up to date about the situation in our communities, we've been checking in with county health officers in the North State. Yesterday, Mark Albert spoke with Dr. Fong Liu, the bi-county health officer for Sutter, Yuba counties. They got news of their first positive cases over the weekend. Mark began the conversation first asking if the 3 cases came as a surprise.
No. Like we have been warning the community, it's not a matter of if, but when. And the when is now here.
At this stage, what are the conditions of the 3 patients like?
The 3 cases are recovering well and they are doing fine.
So none of them have needed to be hospitalized at this time?
None of them are currently hospitalized.
Do they, or do you have any idea how they may have contracted it?
All of them are deemed to be community transmitted cases, meaning that there was no risk factors of travel and no close contact with a laboratory confirmed COVID-19 case. So they fall into the third remaining category, which is community transmitted.
I think one of the reasons the pandemic is so concerning to public health officials is that a positive result on the test is really kind of a lagging indicator. It takes time to get sick. It takes time for symptoms to get bad and bad enough to ask for a test, more time for a test to be authorized, and then several days to get the results. So the number of infections could actually be much higher. Yeah?
So COVID-19 is here in the Yuba Sutter community, and it's basically here throughout the state and likely throughout every facet of our country even. You are right that the number of positive cases is likely a lot more than what we have been able to identify. There has been a nationwide shortage of test kits, so therefore the testing has not been rolled out as robustly as us in the local or state or even national jurisdiction would have liked. In terms of the response, I think that people should take heed that since the COVID-19 virus is already in the community and throughout the state, they need to take seriously the order to stay home unless they are performing or engaging in essential functions of life. That means if you need to go out to get groceries or food, that's essential. But playing a pickup basketball game with your buddies at a local park, that's not essential.
Dr. Liu, have you been able to trace the movements of any of these three patients? Are there places or times identified where these folks were, that people should be especially mindful of? I mean, let's say they were bowling last Saturday night.
When we do contact investigation and draw out the epidemiological circle of exposed individuals, we have quickly identified the exposed individuals who needed to be contacted, and they have been contacted. The people who were exposed from those three cases that needed to know have been notified. So if they are not identified and have not been contacted by public health, then they can be assured that they were not deemed to be an exposed individual.
Are you able to divulge how many people you contacted in regard to those three cases?
No, no, sir. Please note also that COVID-19 is already here, and I've noted that earlier. So it doesn't really matter in terms of exposure overall because it's already here, right? It's already throughout the entire state. And with the community transmitted cases as confirmed this past weekend, it's in the Yuba Sutter region. Even though it's only a handful, but the reason that I have determined that they got the infection was through community transmitted and not through, say, travel to Italy and not through a close contact of a laboratory confirmed case. Everyone really needs to take the stay-at-home order seriously.
And finally, is there, I'm sure you can't, but if you're willing to speculate on how many cases we might have a week from now?
No, sir, I
okay.
can't.
Sure,
it's a
enough.
Very fluid situation, and it really also depends on how well people adhere to the stay-at-home order. If people actually listen to me and listen to the other health officers in the region and adhere to the stay-at-home order and say, you know, not go out and mingle in public unnecessarily, then I'm hopeful that the epidemic curve can be quickly flattened for our region and hopefully even throughout our state and our country. But that really depends on the public and the public listening to our guidance as public health officers.
That was Dr. Fong Liu, Bi-County Health Officer for Sutter, Yuba Counties, speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. One of the most vulnerable populations during this pandemic are people who can't stay home because they don't have one. Those experiencing homelessness who have nowhere to seek shelter from COVID-19 are at a higher risk than the average person of contracting it. And SPR's Ken DeVall spoke earlier today to Justin Wandrow, Director of Development of the Good News Rescue Mission, Shasta County's only homeless shelter, about what they're trying to do to keep their clients safe.
We've done a number of things to really start have our prevention efforts in place. So we've canceled all of our non-sustenance-based programs, things like job readiness programs, financial literacy classes, and we're really at this point focusing just on what are the basic things people need to survive and how do we provide those things in the safest way possible for them. So that includes things like we have installed hand-washing stations outside the entrances to all of our buildings. We have increased the frequency of the disinfecting that we do. So that's on all the doorknobs and light switches and chairs and tables and everything. We've increased the cleaning frequency on those things. And then we are working on implementing some daily screening process for all of our guests that are coming in for meals and for shelter each day.
You know, unsheltered people are one of the groups identified by health officials as most vulnerable to COVID-19. Good News Mission has done, you know, their best. Beyond that, are you aware of any measures taken by local officials to ensure your clients' health?
So we have been in meetings with the public health officials, and they are actively working on a plan for that, and we're working in conjunction with them. So hopefully there should be some news on that shortly. They also have been giving us recommendations on how best to provide our services in a safe way. So how we're going to be doing our daily screenings, those are from recommendations from the county of how to do those and how best to make sure that we're doing things in a safe way that can prevent any possible outbreaks.
Justin, do you think this situation is manageable for you in the near and midterm?
I think with the community support, it is manageable. So we have a limited amount of staff here, and we all the time we rely heavily on volunteers. And unfortunately, we've had to send home any of our volunteers who are over the age of 65 just for their safety to make sure that they are following the government orders and guidelines, which means we have less volunteers here at the mission. And so it's put, you know, more stress on our staff that are working with our guests on a daily basis. And so we are, I think the community can come together and is coming together, and that we can manage the situation. Hopefully we don't see an outbreak in Shasta County like we've seen in other counties.
How can people help? How can people help your organization?
Yeah, so we have a few things that are happening right now. One, we are seeing an increase in the number of people coming for meals each day. So there's an increase in the demand for food, but at the same time, we're also seeing a decrease in the food donations that we're getting. And we rely heavily upon food donations from the community, but because of everything that's going on, we're just seeing a lot less food donations. So those two things right there are stretching our resources a little bit at the moment. So people in the community can help by either donating food, and you can go to our website at gnrm.org to find out what particular food items we need, or by donating financially so that we can buy that food as needed.
Fantastic. And people can go to your website for that. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, we have a Facebook page as well, where we're providing, you know, updates on what's happening here at the mission. And on our webpage, we also have a page that's dedicated just to the COVID-19 updates also.
Good. Justin, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, you know, I think that during times like this, it's important that we as a community are very aware of the most vulnerable in our society. And whether that's people who are homeless and living on the streets, or senior citizens who don't have the ability to get out, I think it's important as a community that we keep aware of those people and do whatever we can to reach out and help them.
That was Justin Wandrow, Director of Development of the Good News Rescue Mission in Reading. You're listening to special coverage of the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is special coverage from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. I'm just going to come out and say it. This crisis is difficult, and our communities have already gone through so much. 3 years ago, many of us experienced what it's like to have 1 hour to flee for our lives during the Oroville Dam spillway incident. Our communities have been ravaged by wildfires named Bowles, Wall, Ponderosa, LaPorte, and Cascade, Helena, Klamathon, Carr, Ranch, Camp. And now there's this, a virus that's threatening the entire world. I don't know about you, but I am tired. Even so, I'm grateful, especially for all of the people in my community who are working to do anything and everything they can for others. And I know I'm not alone in this feeling.
My mother used to say a long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
If you didn't recognize it, that was the voice of famed television personality Mr. Rogers, and I could not agree with him more. You helpers bring hope. And on this news program, we want to highlight the good work being done in our community. That's why last week, NSPR's Ken Duvall caught up with Addison Winslow from the Chico chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America to learn more about an initiative the group was starting to help during this COVID crisis.
Addison, a few days ago, the DSA initiated a volunteer effort to deliver things like food and prescriptions to people who were confined in their homes due to the virus. What motivated you to do that?
We're a political organization, but sort of a network that's available to mobilize volunteers for anything that people are needed for. Came up in particular, somebody suggested that maybe we should be getting groceries for our own grandparents. And then really quickly, we're like, well, there's a lot of people who don't have grandchildren, particularly people we're thinking in affordable housing complexes that are senior only, that aren't going to be able to get their groceries or get the prescriptions. Because we have this little bit of coordinating capacity, we're in a perfect position to be able to organize to help some of them out. So we strung it together sort of rapidly.
How many volunteers do you currently have?
There's like a list of them. There's about 6 to 8 of us who are sort of core volunteers that are figuring out like the procedure and trying to put the volunteer coordination in like the best, most efficient fashion. But we have a list of probably up to 50 plus volunteers that are kind of possible volunteers. We have their information stuff. People that have volunteered previously with PSA. We're also coordinating with the North Valley Mutual Aid, and they have a list of volunteers, 10 or so of us that have participated in various parts of the actual deliveries and the answering the hotline and coordinating all.
So how are people reacting?
Well, I mean, it's with gratitude, different levels of gratitude. Some people are connected to us not knowing who we are or anything. And then great. So some other people, there's a strong enthusiasm from in our community. It's sort of a special moment for that little bit of bonding, even though normally we talk a little bit with people, do the deliveries, but we're standing like 6 feet away from their door while the groceries are sitting right there. It's really positive, you know, especially if people are in like isolation. And at this point, it's like days they haven't left their house. It's nice to be able to like have a little bit of exchange and bonding, and just so that we're like in support of the position they're in, that we're available for help. So I would say there's a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings that come out of it for sure.
How long do you think you're going to be able to keep this up, Addison? Once you've got the structure in place, it sounds like it could go on indefinitely.
Right. The way that we have it, I think it can keep up for a while. You know, I still have to go to work. A lot of people are working from home, and so they have kind of like split limited capacity. A lot of students are now being evicted from all the university housing. So we're going to lose a lot of that volunteer support if they all have to go somewhere else. But as long as we have the procedure in place now, which is like morning volunteer coordination meetings, we see what volunteers we have for the day and plan on making those decisions throughout the day, then we'll have a debrief at the end. And as long as there are people to hold down those meetings, I think we'll be able to keep this on indefinitely. Yeah.
So how can people contact you?
So we're on the posters and the flyers we're giving out. There's a number, the hotline, that we have somebody running all through the day. It's 530-645-2028. And if nobody answers, you can leave a voicemail and we'll get back to you. But we have somebody on it at all times. Sometimes we get multiple calls at once. Actually, preferable if people can send lists to the email, because it's just easier to organize what everybody needs. Just Chico DSA Mutual Aid at gmail.com.
Chico DSA Mutual Aid at gmail.com. And do you have your contact information on your Facebook page as well?
Yes, the contact information. So there's a poster and it has it all on there, and it's pinned to the top of our page. So if you go to the DSA Chico Facebook page, you should find it right there.
That was Addison Winslow of the Chico chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America, speaking with NSPR's Ken DeVall. During this crisis, one of the best ways to help is to stay connected. And that's actually what led to this next segment, by getting a text from a colleague whose voice I, and likely you, miss very much.
Hello, this is Kim Weir, who you normally hear from only during the weekly broadcast of Up the Road, NSPR's travel show. For the time being, we've decided to give the show itself a vacation. For my first digression, have you noticed how time itself has suddenly become a life and death controversy? The question being, how much of it is enough for this, or too much for that? Don't get me started. I definitely have opinions. Anyway, to get back to less polarizing time. From time to time, during this special news show, I'm going to use snippets of what I've come to think of as my time to talk about other things. Because talking about travel, even in passing, is almost cruel. It's just wrong to chatter on and on about great places to go or fun California events when we're all holed up at home, traveling no farther than the store, if that far, for the good of everyone around us. These days, staying at home for a time truly is a life and death matter. However, my second digression, there's nothing quite like a total social meltdown for searing insight into your own human failings. By which I mean, even though I know it's wrong to talk up travel right now, I still want to. Giving it up is hard, because I'm human, and I want what I want, simple as that. Sometimes it amazes me that civil society even exists, let alone succeeds, as well as it does, given our humanity. As individuals, we can barely manage our irrational desires. Yet as societies, we've managed to get this far. To use myself as an example, if I hadn't decided to follow Sarah Bohannon's excellent advice to be a decent human being and set aside all this travel stuff, My plan was to tell you all about Mule Days in Bishop, held every year over Memorial Day weekend. Imagine, if you will, the tiny town of Bishop in the eastern shadow of the Sierra Nevada, overrun with some 30,000 people and 800 to 1,000 very talented mules, together putting on an event that's part Wild West show, part highfalutin equestrian competition. I have always wanted to go, so my plan was to talk it up for up the road and then hightail it down there come May. Of course, reality being what it is, it's hard to know if Mule Days will happen this year. But if it does, and if I get there, I can't wait to watch the hunter jumper competitions, the chariot races, driving teams, team roping, barrel racing, cattle work, mule dressage, you know, all that fancy equine footwork, like the famous Lipizzan stallions at the Spanish Riding School, and finally, the Mule Days Parade. There you have it, my travel fantasy. But as I said, I'm done talking about travel, at least for now. What I do want to talk about is why it's so important to put aside our selfish selves, at least as much as we very human beings can, and do what's right. Because as Dr. Ira Byock puts it, we are at our best when we serve others. A respected palliative care physician, Dr. Byock thinks we need to do a much better job of caring for our elders and for all people approaching the end of their lives. To that end, he wrote a book, The Best Care Possible, A Physician's Quest to Transform Care Through the End of Life, something of a meditation on medicine and ethics. In that book, he says this, anthropologist Margaret Mead was asked by a student what she considered to be the first sign of civilization in a culture. The student expected Mead to talk about fish hooks or clay pots or grinding stones. But Mead said that the first sign of civilization in an ancient culture was a femur, a thigh bone, that had been broken and then healed. She explained that in the animal kingdom, if you break your leg, you die. You cannot run from danger, get to the river for a drink, or hunt for food. You are meat for prowling beasts. No animal survives a broken leg long enough for the bone to heal. A broken femur that has healed is evidence that someone has taken time to stay with the one who fell, has bound up the wound, has carried the person to safety, and has tended the person through recovery. Helping someone else through difficulty is where civilization starts, Mead said. We are at our best when we serve others. Be civilized. Until next time, be civilized. This is Kim Weir for North State Public Radio.
And that's your program for Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. For more information about anything you heard, visit our website, mynspr.org. And while you're there, reach out. Let us know what you're doing to stay connected with your friends and family and how you're helping people get through this crisis. We want to hear from you. Leave us a recorded message at 530-433-9216. Tonight's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Byock, and Phil Wilkie. Our engineer is Matt Fidler. Special thanks to Kim Weir. Thanks for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, and this is special coverage on the coronavirus pandemic from North State Public Radio. We'll be back tomorrow evening at 6:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay connected.